What Mike was talking about is basically the larger story. The larger story, the transcendent story, the God story. He's telling about Paul and who kept a different story. At any one time, given time in history, you have basically three stories going on, unfolding. The first story is our story, the individual story, your own story, the story that comes about in your own life. You were born at a certain year and you came into a family and you moved through that family and into school and junior high and senior high and perhaps on to college and you were married and then went into business and children came, and this is the story that's being told, and people tell about that story. You look at it in biographies and you're putting together your own biography. And that's a story that goes on. Now, that's an important story. Everyone is important. Ephesians 2:10 talks about this whole idea that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared for us in advance. So your story is very important, but you cannot get caught up in that story. There's a second story that goes on. The second story is the cultural story. Every nation, every culture has a story. America started officially a little over 2,000 years ago. But it actually started, or 200 years ago, but it started a little bit before that. When the pilgrims came over and they put a solid ground, a foundation, and began to pray, and there was a heritage there. And then it went through and it struggled as a new country and it developed. And after World War, the two World Wars, it got stronger, became a superpower, and has been a country that is likened to a savior to struggling countries, to bring about freedom, democracy, free enterprise. And it's from this country that the gospel has gone out in many places. But that story is going on. We have history books where many countries have risen and no longer. Where are the Babylons? And where is the great Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Egyptian Empire that we knew about? You just read them in books. You go to Cairo and look around and say, these were the people that came up with geometry? I mean, they can't even seemingly put together a society. So you don't want to attach yourself to a culture. But there are people who get all caught up about our culture. Then the third story is the great story. It's the transcendent story. It's God's story. It's the story that is unfolding. It started before Adam and Eve, and is running through all of these stories. And it's the story we need to keep in touch with. Absolutely crucial. But we can lose it, because what happens is most of us are living life with all these stories going on. Like a person, have you ever come into a movie theater and you're 20 minutes late and the movie's already going? And you're quickly, you look, no, what's he? What's this person do? Oh, well, what's the plot? Where's it going? And that's what happens. We're living lives in these three mixing stories, and we lose sight of the most important story of all. And it's God's story. The other day, I was walking through Sears, and I was thinking about this. And in the television appliances section, I saw one of these new 42-inch televisions going on. And not only was it this big screen, which is impressive. I mean, it was a football game going on, and these guys were in live, you know, full size running across, and it was impressive. But up in the corner was a little 6-inch box, and it was a second channel. And you think, this is the savior for bowl games, you know, you can watch two at the same time. But I thought, now isn't that fantastic? So we can have a second one going on. And I thought to myself about the stories. And what happens is, we get so caught up in our own story. The big screen is our own story. The little screen up in the corner is the transcendent story, the God story. And what we tried to do here this weekend is switch the screens. Switch the screens that the big screen captures God's story, the transcendent story. And that little one, 6-inch one up there, is put in the right perspective. That's our story. We don't want to get caught up in our own story. You see, all through scriptures, that's what these people did. Peter got caught up in his own story when he denied. You know, no, I'm not part of my own story. Very important. And you see that we just keep getting caught up. What's happening to me? Where am I going? How am I doing? Am I getting the right things? God says, don't bother with it. Now, it's a powerful thing to keep in touch with the big story. It's an important thing. That's why we have times in the Word we get away and be with people like this. But what the impact is when you get in touch with the transcendent greater story can have significant effect on your courage, your strength, and your whole life. Out of the great writings of Shakespeare, Henry V, it was done recently, or about 6-7 years ago again, on a movie called Henry V. And it captures, I'd like to just have you see a little scene. It's the great battle of, I'll tell you how it happens because I want you to see it. What's taken place is England and France are fighting each other, as they always were, and still are. But something has taken place. The battle has just finished. It was kind of a draw, and England's forces pulls back, and France's forces pull back. The problem is, if you know the story, and many of you have read Shakespeare, that the French got new and fresh reserves. They were fresh. They are coming in with new uniforms and new vigor. You'll catch the scene as it starts. The England, the officers, are harried, dirty, no reinforcements, outnumbered almost 4-1. And they're looking across at these fresh new troops. And they've lost the bigger story. You can see it. Watch what King Henry V does to bring them back to the larger story. Translate that into our own. Catch the old English. You'll have to watch it closely and listen well.
Where is the king? The king himself is robed to view their battle.
Fighting men. They have full 3,000-4,000.
That's 5-1. Besides, they are all fresh.
These are fearful odds.
Oh, that we now had here. Put 1,000-10,000 of those men in England that do no work today.
What's he that wishes so?
My cousin Westmoreland?
Oh, my fair cousin. If we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. Brother, proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named, and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall see this day and live old age will yearly, on the vigil, feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin's. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget.
that all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in their mouths as household words,
Harry the King,
Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap, whilst any speak that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day! My sovereign lord, bestow yourself with speed! The French are bravely in their battle set, and will with all expedience march upon us. All things are ready if our minds be so.
Perish the man whose mind is backward now.
Let us not wish more help from England, cuz.
God's will, my liege. Would you and I alone, without more help, could fight this royal battle?
Yeah! You know your places. God be with you all.
Once more I come to know thee, King Harry, if for thy ransom thou wilt now compound before thy most assured overthrow.
Who hath sent thee now?
The Constable of France.
I pray thee bear my former answer back.
Bid them achieve me and then sell my bones. God, God! Why should they mock poor fellows thus? Let me speak proudly. Tell the constable, we are but warriors for the working day. Our gayness and our guilt are all besmirched with rainy marching in the painful fields. But by the mass, our hearts are in the trim. Herald,
save thou thy labor. Come thou no more for ransom, gentle herald. They shall have none, I swear.
But these my joints, which, if they have, as I shall leave them, shall yield them
little. Tell the constable.
I shall, King Harry. And so fare thee well. Thou never shalt hear herald any more.
My lord, most humbly on my knee, I beg the leading of the bowman.
Take it. Brave York. Now, soldiers, march away. And how thou pleasest God, dispose the day.